And turn to 1 Corinthians 14, and we're in verses 1 through 12. And you're going to have to put your listening ears on because we don't have a lot of time together this morning. But it's adequate time to cover what I want to cover with you, which is Don't Be a Barbarian. That's the sermon title, and it's right out of here, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 12. And if ever there was a passage that should be the end of the charismatic movement, this is the passage. I find it interesting that the debate on the charismatic topic centers around the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit, when realistically there's something far more fundamental on this issue. Far more basic, far more germane to understanding about spiritual things, and it's that there can be no edification without a change in our understanding. So the idea that you can be edified by going into a passive, semi-conscious state and come out being edified is a misunderstanding. That you can come and go to sleep from a sermon and wake up having understood something is a fallacy of thinking. It can't happen, okay? You can only learn and benefit from God's revelation when you're engaged with your brain. And the very essence of glossolalia is the disassociation between one's thinking processes and one's emotions. It's an emotional issue, not an intellectual issue. So in verses 1 through 6, what you'll see here is that edification, which, by the way, is essential to everything we do, edification requires understanding. So as we go through this, pay attention that the goal of revelation, the goal of prophecy, the goal of tongues, the goal of teaching, the goal of knowledge, is edification, encouragement, and comfort. So these abilities that God gives by His Spirit, some present, some not, that is, some temporary, some permanent, non-temporary, the goal of revelation, which we have in our written form, is edification, encouragement, and comfort. And that requires understanding. All right, let's look, please, at verse 1. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Pursue love. Now be zealous. It's an imperative. Be eager. Be zealous for things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's a neutral article. When you have that, the neuter article means it's the category, the stuff that pertains to the Holy Spirit. Pneumatica, when you have that ma ending on Greek, it means characteristic. So stuff characterized by the Holy Spirit. Be zealous for that. And he looked at different categories of spiritual things in chapter 12, which I will not review. Now, rather, in order that you should prophesy. I don't have time to prove this. You have concordance, prove it on your own. Look up prophecy, look up prophesy, and what it has always is revelation. A prophet, look up here for a minute, okay? A prophet receives revelation from God. So if I come up here and I'm really engaged and I'm yelling and screaming and I'm eager in my speaking, okay? That's not prophesying. Okay, even if I go into a semi-conscious and I start saying things, that's not prophesying. Prophets receive revelation. I used to use the difference between the dial-up modem and Fios cable, but now everybody has Fios, so I have to come up with something else. Prophets have knowledge of God. They know what's going on with God. He reveals everything to his prophets. We have no prophets today. All right? We will have prophets in the future. They will return. Probably Moses, and one we know is Elijah. The two witnesses are prophets. They're going to be present. Before the tribulation, we'll see him. How do I know that? Malachi, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, I will send Elijah, and he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's how the Old Testament ends. Okay? Before the great and terrible day of the Lord means
before.
Okay? So we have no prophets today. The prophet was required to be 100% accurate 100% of the time. Notre Dame is not a prophet. Okay? We have no prophets. We have people who make stuff up. Some of it's demonic, I'm sure. But it's not the test of the Old Testament prophet. So when we look at the Corinthian church, they had prophets. Why did they have prophets? Well, they had prophets because they didn't have the written, living Word of God. Okay? Poor Stephen, he had seven daughters. They were all prophets. Why was he poor? Count the number of weddings. Okay? The New Testament church had prophets. The Old Testament had prophets. It's a temporary gift, and they did stuff that prophets do. They gave revelation concerning the future, that which is unknowable. Okay? Paul was a prophet. The apostle Paul was a prophet. How do we know he's a prophet? Well, because he's an apostle, number one. He received revelation, number two. Number three, he says he went down to Jerusalem for the Jerusalem council by prophecy. God told him to do it. I don't have time to get into all this. I better stick to my text or we'll be here all day. And we've got hamburgers waiting, country burger. So rather, he says, you should prophesy. Why? Well, because that's edifying when you receive revelation. For the one speaking in a tongue, this is language, is not speaking to people, but to God. For no one is hearing, but by this means no one understands what he's saying. Why? He's speaking a foreign language. We all know what that's like. I worked really, 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 really hard to learn French. And so when I got to Burundi for the first time, they're supposed to speak French, right? So I get up in my best Parisian French and I introduce myself and I tell them who I am and where I'm from and what I do for a living. And I look out there and they don't have a clue what I said. Not one of them. One, because my French accent is not Burundian. They have an accent when they speak French. They couldn't understand my accent. Two, I found out the only people who speak French work for the government. Nobody else speaks French. They speak Kurundi. So I looked out there and I was a barbarian to them. So I grabbed my translator and I started over. And then they got it. They could understand it. So when you speak in a foreign language and no one understands it, no one is hearing, but by the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. So there is a Spirit of God that's at work with the supernatural ability to speak in an unlearned language, a language which you did not learn. God gives you that ability and you give mysteries. That means that it's revelation. Mystery means revelation, not mysterious, okay? Not unintelligible, but rather revelation. Paul spoke revelation. He didn't have to learn languages when he went to the myriads of language groups across the Roman Empire. It's a many amazing, amazing gift for a missionary to be able to do that. But to God, for no one is hearing, but by the Spirit he's speaking mysteries. Verse 3. But the one prophesying is speaking to the people. What's he speaking? Edification and exhortation / encouragement and comfort or consolation. The one speaking in a tongue is edifying himself. Apparently, he understands the language that God gave to him. And so there's edification for himself, but the one prophesying is edifying the assembly. Why? Because they understand the language. Now, I wish all of you to be speaking in tongues, that it would be great if everybody had this gift of languages. Why? Because missions would be exceedingly successful. If you want to reach the Muslim population of Collin County, you have to learn their language. You cannot carry on a conversation with people on a spiritual issues in a foreign language. You have to know their language. When Sarah and I were in France, we were praying about whether God wanted us to go there as missionaries. We were there for over 3 months. Okay? That was 2003. The place had a mandatory, the group we would have been with had a mandatory retirement age in those days of 65. Okay? So it takes 7 years to be able to learn a language, a foreign language, to the level where you can communicate philosophical, spiritual issues and communicate them in a way that can be dealt with, because you're at a high level of ideas and worldview issues. So you do the math, 2003, 7 years. Man, that's just a really bad use of what time we have left. So we came back to the States and fully invested ourselves in sending missionaries. Plus, you ought to learn these foreign languages when you're in your teens and 20s, not when you're in your 50s and 60s, right? It doesn't stick. But you have to be able to have this room for... Wouldn't it be great if you had the ability to go speak Korean or Chinese or Japanese? We don't have that many Japanese in the area. We have tons of Vietnamese all within this area. But we can't even communicate enough to say, please don't steal from our front yard to the people. What about Spanish? Wouldn't it be great? We don't have that ability. But he says here, I wish all of you to be speaking tongues, but more rather that you should be prophesying. Why? Because that is an immediate benefit to the church. For the one prophesying is greater than the one speaking in tongues. Now, this is an interpretive key for this passage. Why is it greater? Desire earnestly. Because it's to the benefit of the church, and the key is the building up of the body of Christ, or edification. Okay? Verse 5. Now I wish for all of you to be speaking in tongues, but more rather that you should be prophesying, for the one prophesying is greater than the one speaking in tongues, unless if there is an interpretation. It's odd Greek, but the gist of it is, unless if not should be interpreting. But the point of it is, unless if there is understanding, there is no edification. In order that the assembly should receive what? Edification. But now, brothers, if I should come to you speaking with tongues, what will I benefit you, unless I should speak to you either in a revelation, in a knowledge? Revelation means uncovering, unveiling, disclosure of God's truth, and a knowledge, or in a prophecy, or in a teaching. There has to be edification in order for there to be understanding. Okay, so the next section that he says here in verses 7 through 10 is that comprehension of a message is absolutely non-negotiable in Paul's churches. So in the Pauline tradition, actually he's going to forbid speaking in tongues without interpretation. In the Pauline churches that he planted, comprehension of a message is non-negotiable. That's a Pauline church. That is a New Testament church. There is no room for emotional edification in Paul's systems. Do you understand that? Look up here. This is cutting across your American culture, lock, stock, and barrel, because you belong to what's called an existential culture, an existential society. And it's been taught in all of our public schools for 40, 50 years it's been taught. So I was a sophomore in high school, and I'm sitting in an English lit class, and the teacher is reading something, and she says to us, how does that make you feel? What is the feeling? What does this mean to you? And I'm sitting there as a Bible student from my church thinking, what? That's irrelevant. What do I think it means to me? It's what did the author intend? It's an issue of comprehension, of a written meaning. Not to this lady, because she's heart and soul into existentialism. How does it make you feel? And that permeates your churches. Schuller, I think his church actually went up on the auction block. Yes, another one bites the dust. And another one bites the dust. That church was a complete and total existential malarkey nonsense. But he had people in the Garden Grove, Crystal Cathedral, driving in like crazy. But it's totally existential. Experience the peak-to-peak living carries you through. It's existentialism. It's unsustainable. But Scripture, heaven and earth will pass away, but Scripture will be fulfilled. So it's absolutely non-negotiable. Let's look at verse 7. Likewise, the things without life, this inanimate, when giving a sound, whether a flute, that's interesting, he's going to talk about languages as sounds, whether a flute or a, we translate a guitar, a lyre, a harp, if a distinction in the voice it should not give, in the distinction in the sound it should not give, how will it be known? The sound being played or the sound being strummed. Or if even an not apparent and an obvious sound a trumpet should give. So if you're expecting the trumpet to sound, which means the tents are folded and the second trumpet means that you go into marching orders, and so the trumpet blares and everybody responds. But if instead of a trumpet you hear the flute, what are people going to do? And the answer is nothing. Why not? Well, I don't know what that is, but it's not that. So he says there has to be a distinctive sound. Who will prepare himself for a battle? Likewise also you through the tongue, unless an intelligible word you should give, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Verse 10. There's so many, it so happens that there are sounds, voices, languages in the world. And none of them incapable of conveying meaning. None of them expressionless. There's boatloads of languages. All right, look up here. What am I saying? Nia tanda. Easy thatula zako. You don't know? Those are sounds. Well, that's because you don't know Zulu. If you knew Zulu, South African Zulu, you'd know that I was saying, I like your bunny rabbit slippers. Nia tanda, easy thatula zako. I had a friend, he was a missionary kid from South Africa with the Zulu tribe. And in those days, we had this radio program where the guy's catch line was, I like your bunny rabbit slippers. It actually is, I like your rabbit shoes. They don't have bunny rabbits. I like your rabbit shoes. It's what I did in 11th grade. Wang dong da jia. There's Chinese. Wang dong da jia. See the sing song? That's important. Wang dong da jia. I worked forever in 2002 to learn that from one of my students. It means welcome to our house. And I memorized those sounds for our Chinese church that came and joined us. And I said it to one of our Chinese pastors who was in the foyer, not part of Dr. Tan's group. And I said, how close am I on my pronunciation? Wang dong da jia. And he got excited. He said, I can understand you. But to you, it's just sounds. Do you know the languages of this planet? We talked about this last hour. God did an amazing job at messing up the languages. But he says, there are so many, so it happens, there are so many voices, so many sounds in the world, and all of them have meaning. So why in the world are you doing stuff that has no meaning in a church service when the goal is the edification?
Amen.
You're a barbarian. Look at verses 11 and 12. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning, the reality, interesting term that he uses here, if I don't know the reality or the meaning of a sound, so he's speaking about languages here all the way through, not glossolalia, not ecstatic utterances. Those are gibberish sounds that have no patterns of language, have no interpretation of language. They are not languages. They're a semi-conscious engagement where you are uttering nonsensical syllables. And it does nothing for edification. Not for the person doing it, not for the church. Therefore, if I don't know the reality of the sound, I will be to the one speaking a barbarian, and the one speaking to me a barbarian. Barbarians! These would be these northern warring tribes that plagued the Scythians. They plagued Rome. They couldn't conquer them. They were, and they haven't been conquered even to this day. You know, how many years do you want to fight in Afghanistan and still lose? You know, it's these people have figured out how to live where nobody else can live. Good luck. They're barbarians. You go into their land and you are at their mercy. And I will be to the one speaking a barbarian, the one speaking a barbarian to me. Thus also you. You're a barbarian. Barbarians destroy, they kill, they damage. They are the antithesis of the builder, of the planner, of the architect, of the constructor, of the edifier, the building up of the body of Christ. Thus also you, since inasmuch as you are zealous of the things of the Spirit, since you're going to Corinthians, be eager to do these showy supernatural gifts, and you're not having the interpretation of those languages. If you're going to be a barbarian, and you're so zealous for things of the Spirit, to the edification of the assembly, to this be zealous, imperative. Not that, but this, in order that you should have more than enough. You've got so many people that are interested in so many showy gifts. Put your focus, put your attention on revelation that does edification, encouragement, and comfort, because that is the goal for the church. Do not be a barbarian. Build up the church. That requires understanding of the revelation of God. Let's pray.